Man, I love being a part of this church. I love seeing what God is doing in the lives of students here in our church. I mean, how exciting. And hey, everybody, I am so glad to be here. I had a couple weeks off, and I am so happy to be back with all of you as we kick off a new series this weekend. And I want to start with something that you're not going to see coming. I can't believe I'm doing this. I want to start out by talking about Ohio State football. To be clear, I am not a fan, okay? I am not a fan, but I'm just wondering if you heard about what happened in their team, what happened on the Ohio State campus last year. So I brought a picture. Here's a picture of a gathering on the Ohio State campus. There's about 1,000 students there. And what's happening in this gathering is that members of their football team are sharing their testimonies. And by that, I mean like the stories of their coming to faith in Jesus. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus right there on the Ohio State campus. And what happened, I got another picture here, is that a bunch of people responded to their message. And that night, 60 students were baptized. Just amazing stuff. And I know some of you are just having kind of an existential crisis right now. Those of you who are hardcore Wolverines, hardcore Spartans, because you're just going, a Buckeye can be saved? Like, I didn't know that, my friends, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor Buckeyes nor Spartans can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there's something interesting going on in our country right now. And I just wonder if you feel it. I wonder if you've noticed it, because it's not just the campus of Ohio State. Something is going on. God is moving among the younger generations. For example, they're buying Bibles, okay? Bible sales are up by 22%. And maybe that means something to you. Maybe you're going, okay, whatever. Listen, younger people are buying millions of Bibles. This is interesting. And not only are they buying them, and I'm talking about the physical ones. I mean, the kids who do everything on their phone are buying paper Bibles and they're reading them. See, Gen Z report, here's a stat, I'll just put it on the screen. 21% of Gen Z are reporting through a recent study reading their Bible more often. And they're showing up at church. I don't know if you've noticed this here at our church, but younger generations are showing up at church. And it's not just in the U.S. Also in the United Kingdom, there was a recent study. And what that study revealed is that people who reported going to church at least once a month, that group of people went up by 56%. That is a massive increase. And so it's like God is doing something in the younger generations, and I think we're seeing that even here in our own church. In 2025, just this year so far, 142 people have been baptized at Ada Bible Church. And out of that number, 87 of them are students. Students like you saw on the video who were at Serve GR. So it's like God is doing something in our country, in the younger generations, in and through his church. And I just got to tell you, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of what God is doing. So we're starting a new series this weekend. It's called Courageous Church. And what we're going to be doing in this series is going to be taking a look at the very first church. So we're going to the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in the New Testament. And in the book of Acts, Luke tells the story of how the church was born and kind of the first period of time in the church. And day one of the church movement, something very interesting happens, because one of Jesus' disciples, a guy by the name of Peter, he preaches a sermon. It's sermon number one of the church era. And what happens in response to that sermon, I just want to show you because it is amazing. So this is from Acts 2:41. Those who accepted his message, that's Peter's sermon, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people all at once put their faith in Jesus. And then you want to talk about a long baptism service. I mean, okay, 3,000 people were baptized in one day. See, there was a powerful movement of God in the first church. And I just want to ask some questions today about this. It's like, why did this happen? And how did this happen? And something I've come to believe is that when you look at powerful movements of God, whether it was in the very first church like we're going to study today, or really any time in history where you see a powerful movement of God, what many people would call a revival, what is happening in these situations, I don't want to be overly simplistic, but it's always the same stuff. It's always the same playbook. They're always doing the same things. The way I'm wording it for this series is that the believers in those churches, they are all about the same courageous commitments. Anytime you see a powerful movement of God. And so in this series, we're going to explore over these 5 weeks, five courageous commitments that the first church made. And here's the challenge for us, commitments that we can make. Because here's the potential of this, is that God is still moving powerfully in and through his church. And God wants to use you and your family and your place of work and at your school and on your team. God wants to use you to impact your people in your life. God wants to use us as a church to impact this region and this city through his gospel. And so there's just incredible potential here. And so as we dive into this, it's going to be a four-part conversation today. And just may God speak to us. May he give us open hearts to be challenged by these courageous commitments. Four-part conversation today. And part one is the mission. Because here's the deal. If we want to see God move powerfully in our lives and through our church, we have to get on board with the mission that Jesus gave his church. So Jesus very clearly spelled out that mission to his disciples. And it happened during this period of time, the short window after his crucifixion and resurrection, but before his ascension back to the Father. This is a very interesting space of time to me. So for about 50 days, the resurrected Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, teaching them and essentially preparing them to be the church. And in that window, he gives them very clearly the mission. So this comes from Matthew's gospel, the very end, chapter 28, Jesus' words to his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples." That's it right there. "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's a word that means people groups or ethnicities. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So that's the mission. And if I could just boil it down, it's go and make disciples of all peoples. So that's the mission of the church. That's the mission of any church. That's the mission of our church, directly from Jesus. Now, before we get too far into this, let's just go after a very, very basic idea. So what's a disciple? I mean, if we're supposed to make the disciples, like what is a disciple? I like to describe a disciple like this, an apprentice learner. Is somebody an apprentice? You know, you attach yourself to another person to try to learn what they are doing. And that's what the disciples were doing with Jesus. And that is what we, as individual Christians, should be doing with Jesus. See, it's not just about believing in Jesus. That's important. It's about becoming like Jesus. It's about apprenticing ourselves to Jesus to become more and more like him. That's what being a Christian is all about. So our mission as followers of Jesus and as a church together is quite simply this: be a disciple and make disciples. Be a disciple yourself and make disciples of other people. Follow Jesus and invite other people to follow Jesus. This is the mission. And I think we just have to be so clear on this. If we want to see God move powerfully in our church and through our church, we have to make this mission our highest priority. See, what is our church going to be all about? It's not just about more and more people showing up. It's not about having nice buildings and more buildings. It's not about having great programs. You know, all those things might be important and helpful if they help us accomplish our mission. Be disciples, make disciples. That this is why we're so huge on kids ministry and student ministry, because we want to help our kids and our teenagers become lifelong disciples of Jesus. That's the mission. That's what we're all about. That's why we're investing huge in this area. And I know that so many of you are part of this, because you serve in our kids ministry, you serve in our student ministry, you give to our church so that we can fund these important ministries. So thank you for being a part of the mission. Be disciples, make disciples. You know, this is why we launched a new campus last year up in Rockford, the Bella Vista campus. Shout out to everybody watching from our Bella Vista campus. Why did we do this? We did this because we want to make disciples. We want to see people up in Rockford come to know Jesus and begin to follow Jesus and be transformed by Jesus. Be disciples, make disciples. This is our mission as a church, what it's all about. This is why we want to see everybody in our church trained in sharing their faith. Everybody ought to be able to share very simply, this is who Jesus is, this is what he did, this is why it matters for your life. We'd love to see everybody trained in this. And if you're looking at this picture and you're going, I don't know what that is, that's because you haven't done the training. That's right. So be on the lookout. We're going to be offering these trainings periodically through the year in person. And if you want to get after it right now, we have a digital way to do this. On the screen here, this is our digital bulletin, adabible.info. You just click this weekend, go through, and there's a way that you can access this digital training. It's just a video that you watch. It'll show you that graphic. It's called the three circles. Very simple way to share your faith. But why do we care so much about this? Because Jesus gave us a mission, and we need to be about this mission. So if we want to see God move powerfully in our church and through our church, we've got to be about the mission. And the very first church, they were. They were getting after it. But a question is, okay, how did this happen? I mean, you talk about 3,000 people coming to faith all at once. I mean, just the power of that. How did this happen? Question, where's the power coming from in the first church? This is a really important question. So part two today is the power. Where did the power come from? So what happens as we turn our attention now to the book of Acts and the story of the first church is that, as I said, Jesus gives his disciples this mission, and it is massive, right? I want you to go and make disciples of all peoples. You've got to take this thing to the ends of the earth. It's a huge mission. And then Jesus gives them a command that seems to contradict the scope of the mission. So look at this. This is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus says, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Listen, I need you to go make disciples of all peoples all over the world, but you can't leave. You got to stay here." I mean, how's this going to work? Well, here's the full verse. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Do not leave until you receive the gift." So what's the gift? Down in verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Notice how he repeats the mission. You're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and then in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's another way of saying make disciples of all peoples all over the world. But he says you got to wait until you receive the gift, and the gift is the Holy Spirit. See, here's the deal. The power source of the church is the Holy Spirit. And we just got to be so clear about this. In our church, the power that we need to pursue this mission that Jesus gave us, it's not money in our budget. It's not having great buildings. It's not the technology that you see. It's not great preaching. It's not even Jeff Mannion. The power that we need to pursue this mission is the Holy Spirit. And I would go as far to say this: if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't pursue this mission. It's all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power for the mission. And the first church, they experienced this. So if we, as Ada Bible Church, as we, as followers of Jesus, are going to pursue this mission, we need the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. If the original disciples of Jesus, the OG, right, if they needed the Holy Spirit, and think about this, if these guys, they knew Jesus. I mean, they knew what his face looked like. Have you ever thought about that? They literally knew what his voice sounded like. They were in the front row for all of his teachings and his miracles. I mean, they personally witnessed them. They were in the boat with Jesus. They were on the road with Jesus. If these guys who knew Jesus so well, if they needed the Holy Spirit in order to pursue the mission, we definitely need the Holy Spirit in order to pursue this mission. The Spirit is the power source. But let's be clear about something in our understanding of what we mean as we talk about needing the Holy Spirit. So let me make a statement. This is something I think we as Christians can get confused on. Here it is. You do not need more of the Holy Spirit. It's not like you have some of the Holy Spirit and you need more of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to pray, God, give me more of your Holy Spirit. You don't need more of the Holy Spirit, and here's why. When a person puts their faith in Jesus, they puts their trust in Jesus to rescue them, to forgive them, to save them, when a person does that, in that moment, God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell that person. And I'm talking about all of the Holy Spirit, 100% of the Holy Spirit. So you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever gonna get. You have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever gonna need. The problem is not you needing more of the Spirit. The problem is this: you need to give more of yourself to the Holy Spirit. We need to live more connected to the Spirit. We need to live more surrendered to the Spirit. We need to consistently place ourselves in space where the Holy Spirit is working to transform us and also to move powerfully through us. And how do you do that? Well, in my mind, the way that we walk in the Spirit, the way that we live in close connection to the Spirit, is through spiritual practices. And we've talked about this before. And as we walk through this series and we look at these five courageous commitments, these are ways that you can, that we can as a church, put ourselves in space where the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully to transform us, to move through us, and to powerfully work in our community. So pay attention in this series as we walk through these five courageous commitments, because you don't need more of the Spirit, you just need to give more of yourself to the Spirit. And as we close the message today, kind of the final point will be one of these courageous commitments. And so we will walk away today with a way for all of us to try to be more connected with the Spirit so that we can experience the power of the Spirit in and through us. Because the Spirit, I mean, if we want to see God move, it's all about the Spirit. Now, let me fast forward. Let me move ahead in the narrative a bit here. Because what happens, as we have said, is Jesus gives these 12 disciples, his early followers, this mission. Be disciples, make disciples, but you got to stay here, wait. And they actually listen. For once, the disciples obey Jesus. Something changed when he resurrected. They're really good at listening now. So they stay in the city, and they're gathered together. Jesus, he returns to the Father. They're in this house. They're praying together, and suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes on them. And the way that Luke, the narrator of Acts, records this, and you can read this, it's in the first part of Acts chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit comes down, and he describes it like tongues of fire on each one of them. This is very vivid imagery. And then following that, Peter, one of the disciples, he gets up, he goes outside, and he begins to preach. And this is what we talked about at the beginning. So what's going on in Jerusalem at this time is a big religious festival called Pentecost. And so there's all these people in Jerusalem, way more people than normally live there, and they're from all over the world. And they speak all kinds of languages. And Peter, he's preaching in his native tongue, Aramaic. But the Spirit is the power source. And the Spirit does something incredible and makes it so that Peter's words can be heard in all these different people's native languages. They're all understanding him, even though they don't speak his language. Or I should say, he doesn't speak their language. And the result of all this, as we have seen, is that 3,000 people put their trust in Jesus and say, you know, I'm in. I want to follow Jesus. Now the disciples have a challenge on their hand. Because what's the mission that Jesus gave them? Make disciples of other people. And they're way outnumbered, okay? There's 3,000 people going like, we're in. We want to follow Jesus. So now what do we do? So how do you disciple 3,000 new believers? Well, Luke tells us. And it's through what I'm calling in this series, the courageous commitment. So let's look at the commitments. And for this, we'll go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So the commitments, here we go, verse 42. They devoted themselves. And I just want to stop right there because I think this word is really important. In fact, if there's a word for this series, it's the word devoted. What happened is this big group of new believers, they devoted themselves. Now, I've been studying this word over the last couple weeks, thinking about this word, reading it, studying it in the original language, because I just wanted to be able to articulate to all of you, what does this really mean? And here's where I landed. Devoted, what does it mean? It means to be all in. It means to go all in on something. These new believers, they were going all in on their discipleship to Jesus. Now, something fascinating about this word in the original language is that it's a compound word. You remember this, English class? Compound, two parts, right? So the first part of this compound word in the original Greek, it can mean for or it can mean against. And so the idea is you go all in for something, towards something, or you go all in against something. And I think there's something important for us here to think about. If you are really going to follow Jesus, I mean, if you're really going to apprentice yourself to Jesus, there are going to be times where you have to go all in against something. Have you experienced this? I mean, if you're really going to walk in the way of Jesus, there's going to be times when you have to go all in against pride. You have to go all in against some attraction that you feel, all in against a temptation, all in against an addiction that you battle. I'm just saying, if you are really going to follow Jesus, there will be times in your life where you just have to say, you know what, I got to go all in against this. I got to go all in against this if I'm really going to disciple myself to Jesus. And so here's a challenging question for all of us to wrestle with right now, is what do you need to go all in against? I mean, right now, as a follower of Jesus, is there something in your life that you're just going, man, if I'm going to be serious about following Jesus, I got to go all in against this. I mean, I got to get focused on this. I need to tell somebody in my life I can trust about this. What do you need to go all in against? There's this prayer that I pray almost every morning, and it goes like this. Father, help me to love what you love and hate what you hate. And by hate, I don't mean people out there that I think God doesn't like. No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about what's going on in here. I'm talking about, God, help me to hate pride. God, I know you hate pride. Help me to hate the pride in me. God, help me to hate this sinful desire within me. See, this prayer is about, God, I want my heart to be so aligned with your heart. And in order for that to happen, there are times where you got to go all in against something. So where do you need to go all in against something in your life? This word is important, it's fascinating, devoted, all in. It can mean all in against, it can mean all in for. And what Luke is describing here in the book of Acts, he's describing how these first Christians, the first church, how they went all in on some things so that they could grow as disciples of Jesus. So what I want to do now is I want to read this passage, and it's kind of long, but this is our series. Acts 2, 42 through 47, the rest of our time in this series will be focused on these words. And so I'm going to read the whole thing to you, and I just want you to notice what these first believers were doing, what they were devoting themselves to. See if you can pick out what I'm calling the five courageous commitments. Here we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. Again, the power of the Spirit. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice that last sentence. That's the mission. As they pursued these things, the Lord added to their number daily. They were living out the mission. So I love this passage. I mean, it's really interesting because this is what the first church was doing. This is how they were spending their time, devoting their energy. These are the things that they went all in on to grow as disciples. And so what are those five courageous commitments? Here's what I think they are. First, they went all in on the apostles' teaching. They went all in on worship and prayer. They went all in on serving one another, all in on fellowship, and all in on sharing the gospel. These are the courageous commitments that the first church made. And so the rest of this series, we're going to explore what they are and how we might live them out. Because again, I mentioned this at the beginning. Any powerful movement of God that we see in and through his church, whether it's the very first church or what we might call revivals throughout history, things like the Protestant Reformation or the Great Awakening. Maybe you remember some of these from history class. I'm just telling you, from my vantage point, it's always the same playbook. They're doing the same things. Every time there's a powerful movement of God in history, essentially, they're devoting themselves to these same courageous commitments. And so if we, as Ada Bible Church, want to see God move powerfully in us and through us, we don't need to do something new. We don't need to discover something. We don't need to do something unique. I think we just need to commit ourselves to the same things that the first Christians committed themselves to in the book of Acts, these same courageous commitments. And kind of the dream is this: what if we did? I mean, what if we went all in on these things? What might God do in your life and in our church and in our city? So that's the dream and the hope of this series. But with the rest of our time, I want to just dive in quickly to this first courageous commitment. The first one is the apostles' teaching. So let's do this. Acts 2:42, the first courageous commitment. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Let's focus on that part, the apostles' teaching. First off, question for the newbies. What's an apostle? I mean, come on. Who are the apostles? You know, before we talk about their teaching, who are these guys? Okay, the apostles are simply the first disciples, Jesus' original disciples, plus, as you read through the New Testament, plus Paul. Paul was kind of like adopted in as an apostle. So the reason they're called apostles is that Jesus personally trained them and sent them out. These guys had personally been with Jesus, and then he sent them out to continue the mission. The word apostle means sent. That's where the word comes from. So that's who the apostles were. So what was their teaching? I mean, what was it that they were communicating to these first believers? Well, If we go back to that one of the first passages we looked at from Matthew's gospel, where Jesus articulates the mission, I think it's pretty clear. So again, Jesus' words to his apostles. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here we go. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Here's what you are to teach them. Everything I commanded you. So what is the apostles' teaching? Okay, Jesus had this teaching that we see in the Gospels that he gave people. He passes it down to his apostles, and now they pass it on to the church. That's the apostles' teaching. And as these first Christians devoted themselves to this, as they went all in on this, that passage that we read, maybe you saw this, every day they were gathering together to hear this teaching. As they did this, the Holy Spirit was meeting them and moving powerfully in and through them. So here's what you might be thinking. Dang, I wish we had that. I wish we had the apostles' teaching. I mean, how amazing would that be to have the actual teaching of Jesus and the apostles passing it on to our church? I mean, how, I wish we could have that. Well, we do. We do have it because it's called the New Testament. See, I mean, think about it, okay? Matthew, the gospel that we've been reading about. Who's Matthew? He was one of the disciples. He was with Jesus. He was an apostle, and he wrote down the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. He recorded it. First, second, Peter in the New Testament. Who's Peter? A disciple, an apostle, and he's writing, he's sharing the teaching of Jesus that he received to these churches that he is leading. Paul wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I mean, so much of the New Testament. Paul was chosen by Jesus, trained by Jesus, sent out specifically to the Gentiles. Paul is an apostle. See, the New Testament is the apostles' teaching. So we have this amazing teaching. And the idea is that if we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, that is space where the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully, speaking, transforming, and can move through us. So if we want to experience the powerful movement of God in our lives and in our church, one of the things that we should do is go all in on the Bible. Go all in on God's word. Go all in, as Luke calls it, the apostles' teaching. So what if you did? I mean, what if you did? What might God do in your life and in our church? And how do you do that? Here's a question. How do you go all in on the scriptures? Well, I got a couple of suggestions for you. And you might have your own rhythms, but if you don't, here are a couple challenges for us on how to go all in on God's word. First is commit to this. I mean, commit to what we're doing right here. Because every week when we gather, we open up the scriptures, we teach the scriptures, we are inviting the Holy Spirit to speak through the word, to challenge us, encourage us, and transform us. And so in this season, I mean, as we head into the fall, as we're all establishing the rhythms that we're going to be living by over the next months, I would just challenge you, be here. Be a part of this because God moves through his word. And secondly, I would just say daily reading. I mean, ever since I was a teenager, and that's when I really got serious about my faith, when I became a follower of Jesus. Ever since I was a teenager, I have been committing myself to daily reading of Scripture. And of course, I miss days. I'm not batting 1,000. And there are days when I open up the Scriptures And it feels like God is speaking directly to me. And then there are a lot of days when I open up the scriptures and it's like, okay, that was good. I'm glad I did it. I don't know. And so it's not a powerful thing every single time that I do it. But I'll tell you this, over the years of having this practice, God has profoundly shaped me through daily engaging with the scriptures. You know, Paul, he puts it this way, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that that happens is through God's word. God's word, or Luke calls it the apostles' teaching, transforming our minds. And so I would just say, I've never met a mature follower of Jesus who doesn't have this practice in their life, daily engaging the scriptures. And it's a way that you can put yourself in space where the Holy Spirit can meet you and move and transform your mind and grow you. And so if you want to be all in on the apostles' teaching, I think it's got to include a daily engagement with the Bible. So if you need a practical step here, we have a very simple tool, a practical tool. It's called Beyond the Weekend. I got another picture of the digital bulletin for you on the screen. What's nice about this is it's a daily devotional that gets you into the Bible. It's connected to the weekend sermon. So, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I remember talking about that. And you can get it right to your inbox. And so it's simple. And it's a great place to start. If that's not your thing, Bible recap, I know a lot of you do that, but just daily engagement with the scriptures where you just go, Holy Spirit, speak to me, challenge me. You know, questions I like to ask, you know, God, what does this reveal about who you are? What does this reveal about who I am? And is there something that you want me to do with this? You know, there's lots of different ways to go at this, but my point is, If you want to go all in on the scriptures, make it a daily practice. So let's wrap up with a question I asked at the beginning. The first church, powerful movement of God, 3,000 people in one day. Why and how did this happen? Well, here's what we've seen. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power source as the first Christians really pursued the mission that Jesus gave them. Now, here's my challenge for us, final challenge. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same mission. Do we have the same courageous commitments? That's the question. And what I just want to challenge us with is, what if we did? I mean, what if we went all in the same way that these first Christians did? What might God do in your life, in your family, your school, your neighborhood? What might God do through our church in our city? And I would love to find out. I would love to see what God could do in and through our church. And so let me put three words on the screen. Three words. I'm all in. I'm just wondering if what we are talking about today resonates with you, and if you're just going, I am all in. I am all in following Jesus. I am all in on these courageous commitments. I am all in. If that's you, if that's what you are feeling, if that's what you desire, let me just challenge you to take a courageous step right now and just put your hand up in the air and just declare, I am all in right now. I am all in. Fantastic. I love it. Can't wait to see what God is going to do. Let me pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, it is so exciting to read about what you did through the first church. And God, let me just say that we want to be a part of you moving in this city and in this world. And God, we want to be about your mission. God, we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so God, would you help us to commit to these things, to pursue you, to make your mission a higher priority in our lives. God, we love you. We're so grateful that you have invited us, that you want to use us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.